Good evening, happy Monday, and welcome to the Steve and I Show. Hope you're having a great one. We're going to try our best to make it even better for you. Today, we're breaking down everything everyone's talking about in Hot Topics. We have to talk about the Oscars, and then our beloved Angela Bassett. She was what many people consider to be snubbed from her award yesterday, but Jamie Lee Curtis did win the award for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Then we talk about the reaction to that, and then Colin Kaepernick, he's opened up about his own family, his parents who adopted him. They were white. They adopted him and how they perpetuated anti-blackness and put him through very problematic things. We'll talk about that. Then Monique, she is getting candid about her relationship with her husband, Sidney Hicks. Many knew that they had an open marriage, but now she said they grew out of that. Find out more about that later on in the show. And then a black family, they're rewarded $8.2 million in damages after they were pulled over from their car at a Bay Area Starbucks in 2019. And then finally, have you heard, we heard of Cocaine Bear, but now we have a cocaine serval. This man, he had this cat, this exotic cat, who tested positive for cocaine. All that and much more. We're Mondre all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, of course, our official website, thestephennightshow.com. We also recently joined TikTok, so check us out, The Stephen Knight Show. When we come back, the question of the day and Hot Topics, right back after this.
Tells me a lie. I know who's on the throne of my life. He tells me all the wrong lefts, and when they go right, he's a king, he's a god, he's a big ass. He's a truth, he's a lie, he's a real ass. When he tells me he loves me, I feel it. Ain't nobody on this earth that can steal it. So I feel the shine, feel the clear, feel the positive. Said I'm
I'm on my way. I'm holding on to these memories. See you more from day to day. Maybe it's really over. And I'm too blind to see.
What's up? This is Daryl.
It's Rhea.
It's Paco.
It's Aja, and we're the Walls Group, and you're listening to the Stephen Knight Show.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Thank you for joining us tonight. We have a show full of hot topics, everything everyone's talking about, according to Oscars, including the Oscars, excuse me. We're on all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and of course, our official website, thestephenknightshow.com. We have new merch, so check it out. Now, this is Women's History Month, so shout out to all the trailblazing women, including our own Linnea Love, for all that you do. How's everybody doing? Y'all good? Monday? We're here?
As good can be on a Monday.
Exactly. And, you know, this is my birthday week, so next Monday is my birthday. So I'm kind of, you know, I always like to do something special each day leading up to my birthday, so I don't know what I'm going to do today, but, you know, we'll see. Nice.
That means we're celebrating the holiday with no work on Monday, right?
Exactly. Absolutely. I'll be out of town. All right. Well, our question of the day is, are you a fan of daylight savings time? Linnea?
No.
Me either. You're not a fan at all.
No, we don't know whether we're coming or going. I mean, the only pro is what just happened with springing forward.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know what it is, but the only pro is it gets darker later.
Right, right. What about you, Chike? Are you a fan?
Not as an adult. As a kid, I used to love it because, you know, you got to stay out longer. You know, when the streetlights come on, they didn't come on till later on.
Right.
You know, you can go home a little later. But now, these billable hours, man, are you kidding me?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. It threw me completely off. I'm still adjusting, which I think this has maybe been the hardest I've ever had to adjust to it. But tweet us at home. Let us know, are you a fan of Daylight Savings Time? Stephen Knight Show, SHO. All right, last night's Oscars. Did you all watch?
I saw highlights. I didn't watch.
Yeah.
I was pleased. Overall, I was pleased. I have nothing to complain about.
Yeah, so the big winners were Everything Everywhere All at Once. They had some great wins for their categories. I had planned on watching it, just have it on, you know what I mean? And I had a friend come over. We ordered food, start eating. I forgot about the Oscars. And then I saw there was a message that said Angela Bassett lost, and I was devastated. But to quote Ariana DeBose, Angela Bassett did the thing in Black Panther Wakanda Forever. Her second time portrayal of Queen Ramonda landed her an Oscar nomination for Best Supporting Actress. But Bassett didn't take home the win last night. Instead, Jamie Lee Curtis secured the award for a role in Everything Everywhere at All at Once. And fans online had plenty to say about the majority were calling a snub. As for Angela, the actress hasn't publicly commented on her loss. However, there was a trending discussion about her assumed disappointed look when DeBose announced Lee as the winner. Fans expected Angela to take home the award last night after she recently won the Golden Globe for Best Supporting Actress for the same role. Now, Lee's Oscar win is the second recent one for her Everything, Everywhere, All at Once role. Jamie also won the 2023 Screen Actors Guild Award for Outstanding Performance by a Female Actress in a Supporting Role. Bassett was also nominated for the category for Queen Ramonda. Now, the loss has sparked conversations about the Academy's voting process. According to the website, most categories receive nominations from members within the line of work. For example, actors nominate actors. After the loss, writer and podcast host Jemele Hill shared screenshots of an Entertainment Weekly interview that highlighted the thoughts of four Academy Award voters. Angela Bassett's excellence is undeniable, but a reminder of the mentality that she was up against in trying to win the Academy Award. Of course, not all voters think this way, but I'm guessing this isn't the only voter that has these kind of views, Hill tweeted. Now, there was an anonymous male voter, a conversation leaked because they were talking about how Viola Davis and Danelle Deadweiler, how they weren't nominated for their roles in The Woman King and Till. It says, when they get in trouble for not giving Viola Davis an award, it's like, no, sweetheart, you didn't deserve it. We voted for five we thought were best, the voter said. It's not fair for you to start suddenly beating a frying pan and saying they're ignoring Black people. They're really not. They're making an effort. Maybe there was a time 10 years ago when they were, but they have, of all the high profile things, been in the forefront of wanting to be inclusive. Viola Davis and the lady director need to sit down, shut up, and relax. You didn't get a nomination. A lot of movies don't get nominations. Viola, you have one of two Oscars. You're doing fine. Now, minutes after Jamie gave her a winning speech, Michael B. Jordan and Jonathan Majors showed Angela some love on the Oscar stage. The Creed III actors started their presentation of the Best Cinematography Award by greeting Bassett. Jordan says, "Hey, Auntie," a throwback to the first time his Black Panther character Killmonger met Bassett's character Queen Ramonda. Majors followed up with, "We love you." The shout out was viewed as a moment of solidarity online. Now, Angela Bassett did go to the Vanity Fair party and she looked amazing, took pictures with Megan Thee Stallion, which was her first appearance since the Tory Lanez trial. So, Chicky, let me ask you, I'm sure you all saw the clip. Angela Bassett, you know, typically when they announce the winner, you know, everybody gives a little fake smile. The people didn't win, but she looked extremely disappointed. And it kind of broke my heart watching her reaction. You know what I mean? You could tell it was real. What are your thoughts on her not winning? You know, I saw Sherry Shepherd saying how women of color don't get roles that are typically Oscar worth being nominated for an Oscar. And then I was thinking about, you know, she's 64 years old. She's still amazing. She's great. But it took her, 18 years to get her second nomination. What do you think about her, this quote unquote snub? Which, congratulations to Jamie Lee Curtis, because I love her too, but I really wanted Angela to win.
She is our generation Cicely Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a shame that talent doesn't get recognized like that because they didn't really do it with Sicily either. She got an honorary. But yeah, that's a long, hard road. And but I had my doubts about that one this year anyway, just because of the film. Those Marvel movies don't tend to fare that well in the Academy just because that old stigma of not looking at them as films. It's more like art house stuff. But I don't know. I think her day will come, but, and this is my issue, and I'm going to leave everyone with this. Why do we keep trying to fit into a standard we did not create? The game's never going to be fair for us because they don't play with rules like we want to play with. It's not designed for us. Why do we keep wanting to play it? We want to live up to those particular standards. Why? Create your own award ceremony. Tyler, come on. Let's create an award ceremony that honors us on the top level.
Yeah. Yeah. Linnea, what'd you think about this anonymous male voters' comments about Viola Davis pretty much telling her to shut up and sit down? You know, she's won her awards. What do you think about that?
I just heard the word wokeness again. I think we talked about it.
Yeah.
And we talked about what Chike just said. And wokeness, I just heard it. And I don't know if you guys know, Marlon Wayans has been hosting The Daily Show this week, whatever. And the, what is it, the CPAC that happens with all the Republicans and those people, and Nikki Haley, and I don't know where, you probably know where she's from, I don't know where she's from. Nikki Haley was like, and wokeness is worse than a pandemic that only kept us closed for a little bit. They are weaponizing. They're you know, they're turning that narrative of wokeness into something dangerous when you compare it to the pandemic. And I literally just seen it because that's what Marlon Wayans talked about on The Daily Show. What can I say that hasn't already been said? And we actually literally just said it this week about create your own, and these awards are not really for us, but because we've been brought up to, you know, head for that, you need to achieve that because that's the only thing that's going to validate you. No, her over 20 plus years career validates her.
Yeah,
her picking the roles that she deemed worthy of her is enough alone. She's been in the game a long time. And so many of us, they played years in the game, years, and won't even get a morsel of what these other people get. Not nothing. So, congratulations. She is a winner for us. And like you said, like Chike said, she is our Cicely Tyson for us. And I appreciate her, and I love her artistry.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, she is the highest paid Black female actress on TV with her show 911. Someone asked her in a recent interview, are you feeling the love, the flowers that people are giving? She said she does feel that. So I hope she really does feel that, because she is our modern-day Cicely Tyson, like you said. But also congratulations to all of the winners of Everything Everywhere All at Once. I think it's huge for the Asian community, the fact that people of color can bring people to the box office and do well. So congratulations to all of them. All right, well, athlete turned activist Colin Kaepernick, he's open about his upbringing in a new graphic novel called Change the Game. While promoting the book, he's also dishing out how Rick and Teresa Kaepernick, his adoptive parents, who are white, perpetuated anti-Blackness and put him through very problematic things. So he was in an interview with CBS recently, and he was talking about how, you know, he looked up to Allen Iverson, you know, who had cornrows. And so when he decided he would get cornrows, his parents made a comment, or his mom made a comment, something like, you know, you look like a thug. Is that hanging where your hair? It's not professional, kind of thing. And then he also made a reference to the fact that his dad was having a conversation with someone who had a Confederate flag on, which for many people symbolized racism and slavery. And that his father didn't seem fazed by that. And so he was just, his point is he knows that his parents loved them, but how it can happen in your own home, you know, if you're not mindful of these kind of things. What do you think about him speaking out about his adopted parents, Lanier?
That sounds like it's going to be some very, very hot tea. Yeah. I mean, because you would assume, not that you would assume, but the narrative would be what the narrative always is. They come in and they're saving us. They're saving us from ourselves. And he was adopted. We're saving him. We're saving him from his own self. You know what? Might have to be something I pick up and put on my reading list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chica, what are your thoughts on this? I remember in the Netflix special series that they had about his childhood, there was a scene where he was in the elevator, I believe with his father or his mother, I can't remember, but the person who worked at the hotel thought that he was messing with just a random white person, and then the parent had to say, no, that's my son. So these are his real experiences. I'm guessing he probably talked to his parents about this before putting it out there. What are your thoughts on this?
I'm sure with all that he's been through and all this time, it's been a lot of cathartic work happening, mm-hmm. and a lot of purging. And so he's working through it.
Yeah.
And, you know, making money at the same time. Why not? Mm-hmm. You know, it's his story to tell, and I'm sure he's probably healing from it as he tells it. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that normally educates other people. So kudos to him.
Absolutely. And he said he purposely wears his hair long now because of those comments when he was younger, when he wanted the cornrows and whatnot. All right. Well, Monique, she's continued to be candid about her open marriage with Sydney Hicks, though she's now explaining how she's ultimately grew out the arrangement. Her comments came during a recent sit-down interview with The Hollywood Reporter, and the comedian started off by speaking on how she and her family are in the process of welcoming a new chapter. It's a new chapter, not because of Hollywood. It's a new chapter because my babies are graduating high school. It's a new chapter because my grandson will be going to kindergarten next year, and my granddaughter will be in fifth grade. She said those things are a priority for her. Now, the subject on open marriage, the Queen of Comedy, just speaking on it, and she said her husband, and her, about her and her husband's past arrangement, she was saying that it was her that wanted the open marriage. It wasn't her husband who wanted it. But she was saying how life happens, and she kind of grew out of that. Then she talked about how much her husband has loved her in her darkest days, and she didn't want to sacrifice that for what she called a lay. Can you see that? I think about this because, you know, I forgot what show I was watching, but it was a woman, her and her husband, they had that kind of arrangement. And she was saying how she had to keep it up because that's how she got him, and she didn't want to switch the game on him. You know, she didn't think it was fair. But Monique is saying that just because of life and them growing stronger together and family growing, they don't have time to be doing that kind of stuff. And it's not important to her as important as her family. What are your thoughts on that, Chica?
I mean, to each his own. Whatever people do with their personal beings is their business. I don't even know why we need to even know about this. Right. Like, why is this a trend that people are having these open marriages and these polyamorous relationships? Who cares? Do you, boo-boo? Nobody cares. No one cares. But congratulations on growing out of it, Monique, if that's what you want.
Linnea, what are your thoughts on her being so candid about what's going on in their bedroom?
At some point, you do get tired. Whether you're in a multi-person relationship, a two-person relationship, hell, a one-person relationship with yourself, you're going to get tired at some point, and you're going to need to switch it up. So it's either you grow or you stay in the same place where you are. And obviously, you know, she's grown past that. That was, you know, that's what phases are. That's what happens. Like, you get to a certain point in your life and it's just like, I'm over that, or I'm cool with that. But I don't care what y'all do in the bedroom. But I also blame the people who do the interviews for even asking the question.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, like, if you're, you know, we wouldn't know about it. Would you be so open to talk about it if nobody asked the question? And of course, you know, they want their clickbait. That'll be the thing that'll get the clickbait, not everything else that she talked about.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Because she also talked about her husband has been the best manager she's ever had. She said she's had some real big bosses in the management industry, but he's been the best manager for her. But of course, what made the headlines?
All they heard was orgies.
And she said people act like we were having these orgies. We weren't having orgies. We just were open sexually, but not anymore, apparently. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Find out how a Black family is awarded $8.25 million for racial discrimination. And then an exotic cat was tested positive for cocaine. Right back after this.
Oh, man.
Well, lately I can't get enough of that good stuff. I feel the rush. Whatever you want, baby, trust you'll get it. So babe, stop wasting time and bring it. We feel with lust, our bodies thrust. Go knock the dust off that big dog. You can scream and cuss if it gets rough. Don't care if the neighbors fuss, let them hear it. Cause all of this right here is my shit. You know that's not your mind, my shit. Ain't nobody else gonna hit me like that with a diamond rust. This, you know me, I claim your mind. Ain't nobody else, I'm gonna be with, so I got your mind. So make it love me. So make it love me. So make it love me. So vibing, bumping, show to see. Still having drinks, we in too deep. If you start touching on me, then you gon' get it. Cause me, you know right now I'm twisted. You glanced at me, you smiled and winked. You better stop playing cause I'm a freak. But you still proceed, trying to kiss on me. But baby, I ain't got these lips for nothing. So babe, come get them and stop fronting. Yeah, baby, that's not your mind, my shit. Yeah. Ain't nobody else gonna be hitting like that. I put it down like this. This, yeah, baby, I claimed it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ain't nobody else I'm gonna be with, so I gotta lock it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Slow pause, rewind. I wanted this for a long time. Your hand in mine. Our hearts in line. Your heart's skyless gray. Love our way, struggles in pain. Hold me close, don't let go. No one even has to know. Say yes, say no. Say yes, say but no, my love's real for sure. Say yes, say no.
Say yes, say no.
But never say no.
This is Miss Robbie from Welcome to Sweetie Pies, and you're listening to The Stephen Knight Show.
Welcome back to The Stephen Knight Show. I want to remind you, we're all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and of course, our official website, thestephenknightshow.com. And we recently joined TikTok, so go check us out, The Stephen Knight Show. All right, a Black family has been awarded $8.25 million in damages after they were pulled over in their car back in Bay Area Starbucks in 2019 by two white police officers who accused them of car theft. The three women, a mother and her two daughters, claimed they were singled out for their race, according to court documents. They live in Vegas. I'm not even try their names, but it's the mother and her daughters at the time. They were 17 and 19. They were ultimately awarded a significant sum thanks to California's Bain Act, which allows any monetary damages awarded to be tripled as long as the lawyers can prove that a person's civil rights have been violated. Now, their last name is Longerville, and her daughters were traveling in the area when Alameda County Sheriff deputies detained and handcuffed them in connection with a string of auto thefts, according to the federal lawsuit. Now, earlier this month, the jurors found in favor of the family and set damages at $2.75 million per plaintiff. This is a vindication and validation for the Longervilles that they were wronged and means a lot, the attorney Craig Peters said on Thursday. Now, the officers who were white reportedly told them that they were under investigation for car burglars committed by unidentified Black men in recent months, the plaintiff said. While Longerville did refuse to show her driver's license, she said that she clearly told the deputies that they had not done anything wrong and had no connection whatsoever to any auto burglaries, according to their civil complaint. She and her daughters were all handcuffed as police officers searched the car and their purses and cell phones. They were ultimately released from police custody without any citation or criminal charges, NBC News reports. A federal jury sided with the plaintiffs and found that the officers, as well as Alameda County, violated their constitutional rights while breaching state civil protections against the police harassment. So they had a big payday, Linnea. Do you think that if counties and police departments are being hit with these hefty fines, it will eliminate just this targeting of Black people for random people for car burglaries? They're looking for men, and these are three women.
It'll never be eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
But if you start really tapping into those municipalities and those people individually,
mm-hmm. Yeah, like
going after their assets, and not because what happens is there's some type of insurance, mm-hmm. to cover stuff like that, so you don't even touch the people that you're going after. The insurance for the business, the entity, covers them, mm-hmm. so they're paid out through an insurance company. No, they need to be hit civilly, personally,
yeah.
Named individually as defendants, because they had their Starbucks. I don't know too many people that, like Rob Cars, that have Starbucks readily,
yeah.
on hand and available. But we said this a long time ago. As ignorant as they are, we still want y'all to make it home.
Yes.
And complying so you can make it home should always be the thought process.
Absolutely.
Every day. Mm-hmm. We just want you to make it home with no incidents. So I get it's frustrating, but it don't take a lot to pull out your credentials and let them do what they're going to do, because you would have had to run those tags. And I'm going to venture to say her tags wasn't part of no stolen car ring.
Right.
Because you mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we want to make it home. That's yeah. it.
I agree. Chike, what are your thoughts on this? Linnea, I think she said it best. And I know now you've said it before, make it home. Show the license. I mean, you can do a complaint later on, but do what you have to do at the time. What are your thoughts on all this?
Yeah, because if everything's A-okay, everything's still going to be A-okay, and all of that evidence will be on your side when you go to court. Mm-hmm. That's what you really want. That's what the fight is. The fight's not going to be on the street between you mouthing off and the cop getting angry, because the cop is always going to win.
Yeah.
So just keep your mouth shut, make it home.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I'm glad there's justice being served.
Yeah. They came up. They came up. Mm. All right. Well, an exotic cat native to Africa is recovering from a Cincinnati Zoo after a traumatic experience that saw drugged with cocaine and injured back in January. The animal called a servo auto the zoo, in late January after escaping its owner's car during his owner's arrest, according to the area news outlet KFVS 12. African cat high on cocaine fled man's car and he is being arrested by Cincinnati police. While the Cincinnati police were collaring the man in the town of Oakley, the servo reportedly left out the man's vehicle before scurrying up a tree. Ray Anderson with Cincinnati Animal Care told the outlet, "We got a call in to get the cat out of the tree. The animal was initially described by authorities as a leopard," with Anderson adding the Hamilton County's dog warden deputies were quite surprised to learn the exotic animal. They weren't sure what they were dealing with. In hindsight, being 2020, is probably would have been involved in a whole lot of more people. They would involve more people. All right. Servos, which can jump 7 feet in the air, can grow to 3 times the size of a normal cat and weigh 20 to 40 pounds. Anderson went on and say that the particular servo was around 30 to 35 pounds and was not excited to be taken down the tree, which proved to be a task for the animal rescuers too. The expert reportedly told the rescuers that he'd rather deal with a tiger than a servo hopped on coke. And added that he didn't know how they did it. The servo was tested at Cincinnati Animal Care, where veterinarians worked on his injured leg and conducted a toxicology report, which tested positive for cocaine. It did come back positive for cocaine. Now we can't say how the animal got the cocaine in the system. I don't know if it was an environmental or experimental. Meanwhile, the Hamilton County dog warden are allegedly considered charges against the cat's owner, but ultimately decided against it. That's a lot. Have you ever heard this cat, Lania?
I'm Googling as you're talking. I've never heard of it. Don't want it near me because I'm allergic to cats. It looks like a cheetah, but I guess it's domesticated. There are people who have them.
One of our friends had a different version of that cat. It's like a smaller house version of that kind of cat.
Mm. I want to know how it got the cocaine.
I'm going to quote two very famous people that know about cocaine really well. And the first one is, "Living in America." And the second one is, "Cocaine is a hell of a drug."
Yeah.
Why would you give it to a cat?
Right, right. I wonder if the man was trying to hide the cocaine and gave it to the cat.
So is this a thing? Like, because you know, you got the movie Cocaine Bear and stuff. Like, is this
based
a
on
thing?
A true story?
Like animals are getting hold of hard drugs.
Yes.
Like, oh, don't mind my dog. He's coked out tonight. Like, please. What is that?
But they decide not to charge the man.
Why? That's animal cruelty.
They said they thought it was unnecessary to charge him.
Wow. So what if the coked up cat would have killed someone?
Right.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
That murder would have been interesting.
Right.
Where's BB at? I can tell her now she can get high. No. She can get high now.
Don't get your dog no cocaine. Well, listen, that's our hot topics. Thank you as always, Lydia, for your contribution. And what's your head say?
It says, "Dose Mac, this is my my brother-in-law."
Oh.
He's an artist in California.
Okay.
There you go. There's your promotions, family. Here's all right.
Chica, I will see you in Movie Blues, and we'll be right back after this.
It's another one. And another one. Yeah. It's Kenny Black, the music machine on the track.
Oh, yeah.
Lyrics. Donnie.
Kept it light, couple drinks, hickin' in my car. Was chillin' with some older folks. Kinda chilly, help you button up your overcoat. Hold a toast, bottle like half a grip. Schoolgirl, biochem, study Latin lit. Passionate, love to help the less fortunate. Triple threat, had a marvel at her gorgeousness. Homesick, talking about she love the snow. Different places that her mother and her cousins go. Bungalows, wanna hide like one of those. Do nothing, run around in the underclothes. Summer glow, back home sipping over yo. Road to riches, she acting like she know the road. Showing you things I ain't supposed to show. Next winter, we skiing in the Poconos. And in my mind, I'm really hoping so. Mind sex, our bond is so emotional. Simple life, top down on the open road. Black and white, like when Jay met Colangelo. Your pops and told. Realized he was just being a dad though. Like Castro, mom's name Cassandra. To this day, yeah, she still make the best lasagna. It's nothing left for me to ponder. Beat you with a bow like it's a privilege and an honor. We at the penthouse in Palazzo. In the Venetian, we was next to El Chapo. Now we lost out in Cabo. The greedy ass, you a fiend for a taco. Just got those books, she like to read a lot. In the water on them jets like to ski a lot. Tequila shots, batting bougie on the radio. That Jose got her acting like she Quavo. For the pesos, hit me with a pole dance. Made it rain, we got a different type of romance. In the air, love it when you slow dance. She a stallion, she ride, I'm using both hands. Both plan to enjoy this little odyssey. Beach hop to avoid the monotony. Nymphadamus, seen it like a prophecy. Mrs. Long, yeah, I'm thinking quite possibly. They look at us like we a novelty. Pop out and paparazzi on the property.
One day you will too, my dear.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Adam, how's it going? How's DC?
It's going well, Stephen. DC is good. It's still a little cold for March, but I know we're still technically in winter, so making do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, everyone's talking about the Oscars, and we talked about it in Hot Topics. What were your takeaways from yesterday's awards show?
Yeah, so actually, I thought it was, you know, I haven't watched the live Oscars probably since the Moonlight incident a few years back, but I thought it was pretty good. They kept things moving along, and the pacing was good. For the winners, I think it was kind of given that everything would win everything. I was surprised by the amount of that they won, but it was funny because there was nothing, I guess, unpredictable in this Oscars, no surprises or anything like that. Jimmy Kimmel's kind of a safe generic bet. I liked the cocaine bear that came out. That was kind of fun. So they had a few good bits. The only thing, and I don't remember Oscars of past, but I felt like the songs were not, they didn't perform the full songs. And I could be incorrect. Maybe they never performed the full songs, but I thought we could have heard like the whole song from when performers came out. Cause to me, that's a highlight, right? That's something you don't see. And that's not just someone standing at a podium. Overall, you know, most of it was good. All Quiet on the Western Front, which, you know, Chige, you just recently talked about, and I thought deserved the awards they got. Everything else. I mean, I do want to see Women Talking. I know that's been very highly regarded as well. So there's a few that I missed on my watch list that I'm going to go back to.
Okay. So earlier in Hot Topics, when we were talking about the Oscars, I had brought up, we were talking about Angela Bassett and how she didn't win. And some people believe that she was snubbed. But in my mind, and maybe you can agree with me or not, but in my mind, I never really looked at her as being a contender because it was a Marvel film. Mm-hmm. I never thought that it would be something that they would even consider. So I was actually surprised that she was even nominated, honestly.
Yeah, I will agree with that. It was very surprising to see a Marvel movie not get like technical or some kind of visual effects. Mm-hmm. It's complicated because I think, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis, they did a great job, but also it's what they call like one of those career wins. Like she's been in the industry for so long that they felt like they had to give it to her. I don't know because I haven't seen The Whale. So I don't know if, you know, Hong Chao was better. I did like Angela Bassett a lot in Black Panther, but also Jamie Lee Curtis, I didn't realize it was her until after the movie because I guess they just did a good job of really like covering her up. So I think this is the beginning of, I hope, like a trend where maybe the Marvel movies will start getting a little more notice. That being said, though, they don't have the talent of Angela Bassett in all their movies, so maybe not. Well, no.
I was very disappointed. I mean, I don't know if you saw the clip, Adam, but the look on her face when they announced Jamie Lee Curtis, she looked so hurt. And you could tell it wasn't, you know, because usually they get a little fake smile. Oh,
yeah, like, exactly.
She looked devastated, and I felt devastated for her because I felt so bad for her. I thought she was going to win just because, she'd been winning a lot of awards lately and she's been recognized a lot. I'm very happy for Jamie Lee Curtis, especially when I heard her speech, you know, you could tell she was genuinely just happy. You know what I mean? Which what she deserves. She's a legend as well. But I really, really want Angela Bassett to win. I remember I was watching my shows on Friday and they were doing predictions. And this one man said, Jamie Lee Curtis, he thinks she was gonna win. I kind of cut my eyes out on but he was right. He was right. But
yeah, I have a feeling. So if Angela gets another nomination, it'll probably be hers to win.
Yeah, yeah. So did you all get to see any movies or anything?
I didn't see any movies. I'm sorry, Adam. Go ahead.
No, I was just about to say I did not get a chance to catch anything. I actually wanted to see Women Talking, but didn't have time this weekend. And sadly, I'm not even caught up on The Last of Us. And I know it was the season finale, and I can't wait to watch it. But I haven't had a chance to catch. Though I will say I did get like a brief time to watch LA Confidential, which is a movie from the 90s, but it's really good. If you're looking for something on Hulu to watch, it's a film noir crime movie with Guy Pearce and Russell Crowe, but it's an old one, so no need to rush out to it.
Yeah, I think, wasn't that nominated for some awards back in its day?
It
yeah.
did, so that's it kind of popped up on one of those like other award nominees on Hulu, and so I was like, all right, well, I've seen it before, so if I can like look at my phone while watching it, I'm not that worried about it, but I mean, it holds up. They did a great job.
Yeah. I won't talk about Last of Us until you're able to talk about it with me.
Yeah, thank you.
I did start a new series. It's called, what's it called? Daisy Jones and the Six on Amazon.
Yeah.
It's about the rock band group. It is really, really, really good. Like, really, really, really good. If you ever saw that movie, Almost Famous, it kind of reminds me of that a little bit. It's, nice. It's in there and it's gritty and it's real. And it's about, you know, the 70s and rock and roll and the music industry. It's really, really in there. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think the lead is Elvis's granddaughter. It's Lisa Marie Presley's daughter. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's her name from Logan Lucky? I have to look it up again.
Yeah, I forget her name. But it's pretty good. Check it out.
Yeah, I have a coworker who read the book and said it was really good. So she definitely recommended watching the show as well.
What about you, Steven? You see anything?
Yeah, did you go to the theater?
No, I didn't. I did start a new series yesterday. I only saw one episode, though. It was really good. Called Unprisoned. It's with Kerry Washington and Delroy Lindo. Mm-hmm. And so he plays her father. She had been promoting the mess out of it. And so I was on Twitter, I think, yesterday, and she was asking people what their reactions were to it. So I was like, let me put it on, you know. And so he plays her father. He gets out of jail after 15 years or something like that. And it just shows the adjustment. But it's funny, and it's, you know, it's a daughter-daddy dynamic. She has a son who plays in there. So she comes home one day, and he's has a female visitor in the bedroom, and she's like,
oh wow,
because she was like, the one thing that she didn't want him to do was live with her or ask her for money, and he has to live with her. So, but he's telling her he really wants to build their relationship, really wants it to work. So it'll be interesting to see how it pans out. But all the episodes apparently are on Hulu. I just saw the first one though, but it was good.
Nice.
Okay.
Bel Air still great. Love Bel Air. I think that's it. You know, it's funny, someone asked me the other day at work, what shows do I watch? First she said, do you watch TV? I said, no. I don't know. Everyone doesn't watch TV. So she was asking what shows. I couldn't think of any. I said, let me pull up my...
You watch shows, Big Brother. We can't stop hearing about that when that's on.
Right. I watched two documentary films, but they had the same subject matter. One was on HBO and one was on Netflix, and it was about the Murdaugh murder. And it was about like the family and how dysfunctional the family was and how far back I don't want to say the corruption, but the blind eye to the injustice with the family went all the way back, because they were basically running the town. They were the law in the town for like decades. And just the different things that would happen in that family over time. And there were like five people died surrounding them in 6 years. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But it was two different documentaries. One was on HBO and the other one was on Netflix, and I watched both of them. And it didn't get old to me. It was like still new information. I don't know. I love true crime documentaries.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering, I know, I guess a couple questions. Which one did you like better? And I know one of them was made like a couple years before like the whole recent trial stuff. So
I think that was the one on Netflix. And I do think that I like that one better because they focused on the stuff that happened yesterday, like the old stuff. They focused on that and they showed you the trajectory and how with each situation it got worse. Everything got worse as it went along. Every new episode was the worst episode.
Oh, interesting.
You know, how the power and that privilege corrupts you. You think you get away with everything.
I also finished the 1619 project. Nicole Hannah Jones, she is the facilitator, if you will, for it's like a series. It just talks about you know, how racism has plagued this country and how it shows up today, even though certain people are trying to erase history, you know. So it just talks about different aspects of it, from voting rights to the Confederate flag, different things. Each episode is about something different, but it was really good. I actually saw one of a friend of mine. He had interviewed the woman, Nicole. I'm not sure, but I saw them on stage together. And so I knew I wanted to check it out, but it was really good.
Have you read the book?
I haven't. I see now they have a podcast about it too.
Yeah. So how does the show hold up to the book?
I haven't read the book. But it was good.
Okay.
But it was good though. It was very okay. They had like different people. What I like about it is that it has a diverse people talking about the subjects. You know what I mean? Like
so is it anything like that masterclass thing that came on? Did you ever see that? I think mm-hmm. I reviewed it once. It was like basically a masterclass where they had like five experts come on and they were talking about different aspects of professionalism and what it takes to succeed, and it was like top people in, you know, industry.
Yeah, well, here she's just traveling back to where she's from,
okay,
down south and all that, and talk, because you know her mother is white, her dad is black, and so it's from her experience, you know, because consider herself a black woman, which she is, you know, and it talks about even, you know, having, you know, the white side of her family, black side of her family. And then just all the entanglement in it all. But it's really good. It's really good. So I recommend it.
What's it on?
On Hulu.
Okay. I'll check it out. I will say, speaking of this, did remind me, I did watch History of the World Part 2, a couple episodes. And as you know, for anyone unaware, it's the Mel Brooks. He did the original one back in the day. And this is like kind of episodes on it. I'm going to give it a couple more episodes. It's not as funny as I was hoping it to be. I think some of the skits are really good, and then some of them just, I wouldn't even say bad, they're just not funny. They're kind of boring to me. And about only two episodes in, but I was hoping for a little bit more.
So I was very leery about that, because that is like one of my favorite movies in the whole wide world, the original. And it was done during a different time in a different era. You could say different things and you could do different things, and it was hilarious. I don't know if they would be able to duplicate that now. They couldn't. I just don't see it being as funny.
Yeah, they're trying, and there are some good ones again, but some of them are just like, it's been done before. Maybe that's the thing too, right? Mm-hmm. So much has been done between now and then that it doesn't feel fresh anymore.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Anything coming out of the pipeline?
You know, I know there's a lot of superhero movies out there, but Shazam 2 still looks like a fun, kind of fun romp. And, you know, we want to keep DC around. So that's the big one for me.
Okay. So I'm not really feeling Shazam, because the last one disappointed a little bit. However, there is The Flash coming out later on this year, and I have to see Shazam, because I know that it's going to make some reference to The Flash in some way, shape, or form. The connection has to be there, because if anyone knows the storyline, they know that Shazam at some point joins the Justice League. So I have to keep an eye out for these things, because it's my duty.
All right. Well, guys, as always, thank you for letting us know what to spend our time and money on and whatnot, and have a great week.
Thanks.
All right.
Right back after this.
Supposed to be Hey, what's up, y'all? We're Rough Ends.
And you're rocking with the Stephen Knight Show right here. Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Now it's time to highlight tonight's Black-owned business. We have Pierre Performance Never Thirsty Moisturizer. Now, working in the beauty industry, Jamal Pierre saw a major gap in skin care that truly addresses men's needs, and it motivated him to start Pierre Performance. So check that out. There'll be a link in the bio of this video. Well, thank you for joining us tonight. Have a great week, and we'll see you soon. Good night.
Tonight is all eyes on me. Everything's gonna be all right. And when we get there, I'ma see a pretty, pretty, pretty young thing. I'ma ask her to take my hand. Head to the floor, we gon' dance. And when we get there,